Looking to beef up your next meal? Have a thing for a signature seasoning and toasted buns? Consider yourself a proud St. Louisan? Then you're gonna love Lion's Choice. Lion's Choice has been serving its famous roast beef sandwiches to St. Louis since 1967. The beef is slow roasted and shaved thin right there in the store before your eyes. It's all real, top round, best of the best, high quality roast beef. And it's waiting for you at 25 area Lion's Choice locations.
This hour of the Afternoon Drive is brought to you by
Liquid Spirits, a beverage catering company. Find them online at liquidspiritsstl.com.
Now, back to Jay and Joe on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Trippity Drive.
5:02, it is the Afternoon Drive, CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, InsideSTL.com. We're going to do a little things a little different here this 5 o'clock hour. We figure instead of just doing, you know, having a run-through, if you will, outside of the air, might as well just do it on the air and save us all some time. So welcoming into the studio, it's Howard Balzer and it's Brian Stahl, and the three of us. We'll make up the triple threat coming up on 590, starting on Thursday from 2 to 4, starting this Thursday. Guys, what's going on?
Oh, good. How you doing, brother? Brothers?
Well. Yeah, there we go. There we
got
go.
A full
getting
posse
ready.
In the house.
Getting ready.
Ladies,
getting everything. Ready. Looking forward to the fifth. I was figuring this out the other day. Since March of a year and a half ago, however many months it's been was March, was it 17 months, 18 months? This will be the fifth different show name that...
That you've been a part of?
That I've been a part of on the radio, yes.
Well, that bodes well.
So, hey, I'm kind of used to it, you know? I'm kind of used to it, but, you know, just roll with the punches, right?
Well, how many of those shows were different, though? Because there were a few different names that you and Lillibridge just changed the name of the show.
Well, yeah, that's the one I'm going back to even before that, of course, at a different station than that one where I was just alone, although it did have different people, and that was H and Friends, of course. Mm-hmm. Then with Mark, even before he came on, we changed it to Lunchtime Live, and then he joined it, and then we changed it to The Blitz, and then to The Football Dealers, and now The Triple Threat. So five show names. So yeah, you're right. The show didn't change all that much, but you know, there were times when Mark was there in the beginning and then he came on full time and was, you know, so.
Which, by the way, we believe Bridge is going to still be involved in
yes,
some capacity the
plan,
with the program
yeah.
moving forward, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So no, that'll be cool.
Which will be able to resurrect the Bridge Report intro, which is awesome. We do have it.
So. I heard you the other day, you were putting Rocchio to work. Telling him to go back in the archives and search
exactly.
for some stuff.
I mean, I have to. I mean, he's got to do some work sometimes.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a lot.
Yeah, unfortunately,
but.
So we've put Andy to work, Andy Hansman, the voiceover guy, we've put him to work on this show to make rejoins or make intros for segments that only lasted one day. we tried to start a segment or start a game. We've tried to, redo Match Game. Like Match Game 76?
Yeah. No. Gene yeah. Rayburn is one
right.
of the all-time greatest.
Totally.
We
totally.
Tried.
I mean, Alec Baldwin. I'm sorry. I like Alec Baldwin, but really, he can't hold Gene Rayburn right. in shock. It's not even close.
Hoff, how would you describe the way Match Game ended up going?
You know how you watch some of those like old-time photos of attempted flight and the plane just kind of disintegrates?
Yeah.
It was sort of like that.
That was the Match Game?
Well, we started talking on our show today. The penultimate, of course, I was looking forward to that, to be always being able to say penultimate, the next to last show of the Football Dealers. So Rocchio and I started talking about, he says, well, how many different people have you worked with? And I said, oh, don't start with that one.
I think
start with that one.
You might be one of the few. I could go through the list of co-hosts that I've gone through, whether it be 6 to 8 or from here, and I think it's a long list, but... H, how many years are you going on in radio in
here in
St.
Town?
Louis? Yeah, in St. Louis.
I have to add up the. Let's see. It was 1979 that I started. Maybe 78. I started being a guest a little bit when I was at the Sporting News, but I think it was 79 when I started doing things regularly. So add that up. 37 years.
That'd be about right. Yeah.
Yeah, 37 years.
Hey, you so even stayed when there was no football.
Exactly. So I'm accustomed to this, as well.
Yeah. But, you'll be able to guide us through how to handle a year without football.
Without burning the sage.
I have yet to watch a single snap of preseason football, but it's not out of hatred for the NFL. It's just,
well, there was a big fatal four-way last night.
Was there football on last night?
I don't know. No, I just knew what you would have been watching last night.
Discussed this. Exactly. I was flipping back and forth. I go, whenever one goes to a commercial, I go to the other one, and I just flip back and forth with that. That's how my Monday nights go. It's whatever's in commercial. I'm watching the other thing. But it's just, I don't have to cover the Rams, don't have to watch the Rams, so it's like, all right, I'll just watch games when they're entertaining.
You know what's interesting about that? I found myself weirdly, and I've never watched a lot of preseason football, even when the Rams were here, unless it was the Rams, for obvious reasons. But the other games, I'd watch a little bit, and then I'd just say, oh, man, this is, ugh, I just couldn't take it. Well, I found myself strangely compelled to watch the Rams games anyway, because they were on, and I say, well, let me just see how, it was the only games I actually had any real interest in.
I still haven't brought myself to do that. I've watched some of the other games, the little snaps here and there, but in terms of, like, I haven't even watched the Rams Hard Knocks.
Really?
Because I know all it's going to do is just get my blood pressure up and get me fired up.
And it got me going a little bit, and I've watched them all.
I've just purposely shied away from that.
I understand it. Now, you'll appreciate this, Brian. I actually left my notes in the car, but I think I'll remember most of them.
You brought notes for this.
Yes, I did, for this reason. And I'm going to test Brian here, Stully. Because we're talking about all the people we've worked with,
yep.
And we never worked together regularly. But yesterday, I'm checking out the Cardinal game, and all of a sudden it hit me like a thunderbolt. A show that we did together on an afternoon filling in at the FM station in town. I guess so. Whoever was out, I don't know who it was, but we ended up filling in together. And it was at the end of August. At this time 5 years ago, when it was all doom and gloom, and everyone was already saying the Cardinals should try this guy at shortstop and this guy because the season is over, forget about it, nothing can happen positive. Mm-hmm. And you and I said, this is ridiculous talk. And you said it too. I was surprised you agreed with me a little bit. But but I said, hey, I've seen enough sports over the years that you never say never. It might be unlikely, and it might be very unlikely, but you never know what can happen in a season. And what really made me think about it yesterday, Brian, is that because the Cardinals are playing the Brewers, and that's exactly, and I thought to myself, you know what? That's who they were playing then when we did that show, when it was near the end of August. That's what I thought. So I looked it up last night, and sure enough, that's who the Cardinals were playing in a three-game series that started on August 30th, and they were like 70-64, and the Brewers were in first place by a bunch of games at the time, and the Cardinals swept the series in the most unlikeliest of fashions. And I looked these things up, Stully, and in one game I remember Jake Westbrook hit a home run to help win a game. Well, when I looked it up last night, not only did it hit a home run, it was a grand slam.
Yeah.
He hit a grand slam. And then I remembered in one of the how weird it was, because he started to say, you know what? Maybe something strange is going to happen here. It was a close game. This was in the game, actually, that Westbrook hit the grand slam. It was the second game of the series. And Ryan Braun had a triple to deep center that drove in the tying run to make it 2-2. And then he was coming around to try to score, and he fell down between third base and home.
I remember the Ryan Braun falling down.
They put the chalk outline out there the following day for him, if I remember correctly.
And the weird thing is Baseball Reference is so ridiculous because I didn't remember he was actually thrown out on the play. And then it said, they had this little play-by-play, and it said, Braun triple, tries to score, is thrown out. And the play was short, center to short to pitcher, I mean to catcher to third. And that's how they got him. And I said, man, something weird's going on. The next night, Pujols hit a grand slam, and they won 8-3 one night, 8-4 the other. The first game of the series, they won 2-1, and one of the RBIs was by Edwin Jackson, the pitcher. So they won the three-game series, and that started this incredible stretch.
But you know what? To back that up a little bit, because it's funny you bring that up. The more you're talking about some of that, I remember. And there were a lot of people who were giving me trouble when I was saying, look, the clubhouse, there's a different feeling. The guys aren't giving up. And oh,
yeah,
no.
I remember you said that.
Telling you that it feels very different. And I thought last year amongst the St. Louis Blues, I had that same feeling in the locker room. Just that it's different. It's almost hard to describe, but you can just see it when it's in front of you. But you mentioned that series against the Brewers. If you back up just two series before that, it was the series against the Dodgers where the Cardinals were almost arguably at their worst that season. And it was during that season, I don't know which night it was, but that's when Chris Carpenter brought everybody over to his house and had the meeting.
Okay.
Where we're not going to embarrass ourselves. So we may mathematically, it may be tough, it may be all these other things, but it was the gathering that Carpenter had that really kind of unified and solidified and got everything moving forward. And then it's funny, you looked all this up because who did we just celebrate this past weekend? Chris Carpenter going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. So there we go. Now this
goosebumps talking about
this.
Seriously.
See, now this year, of course, the Cardinals' record is pretty close to almost the same as it was, but they're currently in the hunt.
There's not the same feeling in the clubhouse, though. I will say this. It is a different team than the 2011 team.
Sure.
Not that this team has thrown in the towel or anything, but, again, that historic comeback, which, by the way, the Atlanta Braves helped because they had a historic collapse.
Right.
But it was a very different feeling that built Sleddy. This team is still trying to figure out their identity. And when some of their key leaders are hurt, and also you don't have some of that same key leadership that you had. I mean, Adam Wainwright is there in terms of leadership, but he has a different style than Chris Carpenter. You don't have Albert Pujols. You don't have Lance Berkman, who was a big piece. And Rafael Furcal, and even a guy like Octavio Dotel, who gets overlooked. But what a big piece he was of that bullpen. You've got different styles now, and this team, I think, is just still, man, it's two steps forward, one step back.
Right. But, and that's the thing, you know, it does, you do seem, when you go into the clubhouse, though, they don't seem like they're stressed out over anything. They seem like they're comfortable, and I wonder if that's because there is, you know, there are two spots open, and they're still sitting in one of those right now, and it doesn't look like the Mets want it. It doesn't look like the Marlins want it. It doesn't look like the Pirates want it.
Well, at times it doesn't look like the Cardinals want it.
Right.
Exactly.
That's kind of the way it is. They still have that 1.5 game lead right now, and heck, there was a time last week they could have been in the lead. They could have had home field. Yeah. In that game, which I don't think they want. Have you ever seen an age for as long as you covering the Cardinals too when you did, have you ever seen or can you explain at all what their woes are at home?
Honestly, no, because these are same players that have had success at home. If it was a completely different roster, it'd be different. But there's guys who have performed well, and it's not just rookies that are making mistakes, and it's not just defensive lapses. There's been a little bit of everything that has contributed to the season. It's just one of those odd things. And I know the argument has been made, well, this is now a power-hitting team, a home-run-hitting team. Busch Stadium is not home-run-friendly. Well, we've seen them hit home runs. It's just, unfortunately, when those home runs come, it's like they're already down by six runs.
Yeah.
So those home runs don't have quite the same effect. Or the pitching, that's, I was going to say, one of our friends in the business had a stat a couple days ago that the Cubs have basically an identical record to what the Cardinals had at this point in the season last year. Well, it's because the Cubs starting pitching, for the most part, versus the Cardinals starting pitching this year has been different. Last year, you had the Cardinals, the Cubs, and the Pirates that were all playing at that ridiculous level. Chicago has continued it this year. The Cardinals have come back to the pack where if Chicago didn't have the great start that they did, this would be a very different looking division, but they're running away with it.
And bottom line is, once you get into the, as Tony La Russa always said, bottom line just is get there. Because once you get there, as we've seen, anything can happen.
And face a power pitcher.
And that's, you know, I think we're seeing Carlos Martinez working his way or continuing to make the case for being that wild card game starter, that he is going to be your starting pitcher for that wild card game.
I mean, set the rotation as best you can. You may need him to pitch the game before to get into the wild card, which that's the disadvantage of the WC.
And that's, you know, you look and they've had success against the Cubs this year. They still have two series left against the Cubs, but right now, I think, 5-2 against the Cubs in Wrigley this year so far? They swept them in the 3-game series and they split the 4-game series. So 5-2 against the Cubs at Wrigley. And having Carlos Martinez, which we've actually seen him go out consistently and pitch well, knowing what Adam Wainwright's capable of, knowing what Jaime Garcia is capable of, just for one game, just for one game, it does, you know, give you a little bit of hope. It's not like you're throwing out unproven guys that are career third, fourth starters.
It gives you hope, and I agree with you 100% about Carlos Martinez, because I think we're really seeing him take those necessary steps forward to become a not the staff ace, because that's Adam Wainwright, regardless of what his one-loss record is. As long as Waino wears the jersey, he's the ace. But for Martinez to be that elite pitcher in the league, I think he's there. And if you can set it, he's the guy you're going to want for that game. But we've got a month of baseball in front of us. And Adam Wainwright, tonight is a big start for him to see if he is able to put some things back together. I've never seen him at a loss for words before, as he was after his last start. Normally he may not share what's wrong, but he always smiles at you and gives you that wink to let you know, I've got it. Just give me that bullpen the next time. This last time, he was at a loss for words. I've never seen that before. Jaime Garcia, we've seen, again, look sensational last couple outings. Not be the guy that you'd want to send out to the mound in a must-win sort of game.
Exactly. Yeah. Just can't count him.
I just, if Wainwright goes out there and gets three outs tonight before he gives up a run, I'll feel a heck of a lot better.
The velocity was there. The rotation was consistent with where it's been. It's just he was getting hit. I know there was a big, Greg Garcia had that error at shortstop behind him, and that call, which was very unique and different with the Cespedes sliding into the glove at third, keeping the glove stuck against the bag, and they believed that Wainwright didn't have complete control. It wasn't a complete catch, so it's not a complete tag. Yeah, all that stuff was weird, but if you look at the entire month in his entire career, Adam Wainwright has never allowed as many runs as he has the month of August this year. It's not just a one-game thing. For him hitting that stretch where he looked like the Wainwright of old, things have been different, and it's not physical this time. That's what's so confounding about it all.
So what's really coincidental, because we're always looking for karma, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I had brought this up mainly because I remembered us working together, and here we are now embarking on this journey. And now, 2 years ago, of course it was, when the quarterback of the football team in town went down with another torn ACL on August 23rd. Well, and Sean Hill took over for him. And now on August 30th, Teddy Bridgewater looks like he's torn his ACL. And guess who the quarterback's going to be for the Vikings?
Sean Hill.
Sean Hill.
Would you pick him up for your fantasy teammate?
No, I would not. No, I would not pick up Sean. I might even be more apt to pick up Adrian Peterson.
Really?
He's been okay with that quarterback.
Like, no one else is going to do that, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, think about it. Think of the guys that he's had handed him the ball before that have been very
average.
Nondescript. Yeah, exactly.
Heck, they got into the playoffs with Christian Ponder at quarterback. And even with Bridgewater, I know they expected him to take a big jump this year, but their record, this is not exact, but it's something like this. They were something like 7-1 last year, with Bridgewater obviously a quarterback, in games where he passed for less than 200 yards.
AP.
So that's all they're going to be asking Sean Hill to do now.
By the way, I've been doing other things. So I saw that Bridgewater got hurt, I guess, 30 minutes into practice. They shut things down.
They canceled practice.
But a non-contact injury? How do you tear his ACL non-contact?
Well, the thing that no one knows.
Mine before non-contact.
Well, no, you can tear. Oh, no. Oh.
I really have.
Here was the crazy thing about it, apparently. And they kicked the media out, too, while everyone was coming around them. And they called for a paramedic to come, which is very unusual. So there's the belief that it's more than just the ACL. Because usually with an ACL, you can still walk off the field.
So would the ACL be a result, perhaps, of whatever
something
triggered?
Yeah, it could be.
Right.
It could
be. When you get knocked out and fall off funny?
It could be a bunch of other things that could be really traumatic and worse that caused them to call the paramedic. And so that's the thing that we don't really know yet until they release the results of the test, but it was still, but non-contact stuff happens all the time with ACLs. Might be as much as 50-70% of ACL injuries are non-contact, where you just step funny and your foot sticks and your leg
turf
twists.
Monster.
Yeah, exactly. It happens.
Well, what happened with me, and you guys both know him. Dr. Brophy is the guy who did the surgery on me, took care of me. Former one of the Rams' former team doctors. Uh-huh. And what happened was I was up at a bar in Chicago, and it was wood floors.
Imagine that.
And I turned.
And that's where we go from Rams, former Rams doctor into I was in a bar. And it's like, yeah,
and,
that's
and the doctor turned, was there too. No.
I turn, and I felt a pop, and I was like, huh, I'm like, that feels really odd. And like the rest of the weekend, I'm limping around, and it hurt like hell, but I was still able to walk around. And after about another week or two of it, I'm like, okay, I need to go get this checked out. And I go in, they look at it, they're like, tore your ACL and your meniscus.
From turning at the bar?
Yeah, and what they said was, wow. It's probably, you probably got hit there, which I had. I was hit there playing intramural basketball. I had hit my knee before, and they said, whatever you did there, probably just set it up just right to where it was ready to tear the next time you did something significant to it. So there could have been a hit in a preseason game earlier that just kind of started the process and started everything to where all he needed to do was turn on it or put a little pressure on it one way or another and just snap.
I had a conversation with one of the Rams doctors a couple of years ago at practice right after Bradford had suffered his second torn ACL. And the conversation started talking about how unusual that is to do it twice and all those things. And then we just started talking about ACLs. And he said, man, you're coming into the time of the year and football and all that with high schools and all that. And he says, no, that's not the worst. You know, he told me one of the worst is for ACLs is girls volleyball.
Really?
Yeah. In terms of percentage. Obviously, mm-hmm. There's not that many girls playing volleyball in terms of like 53 players on a football team and all that. But percentage-wise, in terms of the injuries that are suffered, that's a big part of it. And a certain amount is probably with girls, you know, girls' knees and legs are different and they're not as developed and they're younger and all those things. But they said the incidence of that, you'd be surprised of how many there are in some of those other sports that no one talks about. It's kind of like the concussion issue. Everyone, all they talk about is football, but no one talks about soccer and a lot of the other places.
Synchronized swimming, that's where it's the worst.
they don't know
it really
that.
Is.
Yeah,
so. Hoff, what was the article? We were talking about it before the Olympics that, I mean, it was like 90% of people that compete in synchronized swimming have suffered concussions.
And yet no one's talking about, oh, my goodness, is synchronized swimming ever going to go away? Man, oh, mom, you don't want your kids to play soccer. And yet football, there's this crazy thing because football's football. It gets all the notice. There's so many players playing. And so when someone gets a concussion or you hear about bad things later in life, it's, oh, my God, oh, God, oh, we don't want my son playing. No, you can't play football. Well, stuff happens in all sports. My son got a concussion when he was about 11, I think, playing baseball.
Hey, so. You can get him playing baseball, too, but I got to go back. I swam a lot. I was a competitive swimmer. I was on swim team. I coached swim team. I was a lifeguard instructor. How the hell are you getting a concussion in synchronized swimming?
Hoff, did you find the article? Was it New York Times?
I feel like a rep's at 100%.
The sudden movements and stuff?
Yeah, the sudden movements underneath, because apparently you're going underwater a lot.
Yeah, because
you're kicking your feet, and you're so close to each other that you're going to get a foot to the head.
But here's the thing. A lot of concussions, or at least residual brain injuries, don't occur from getting hit or, and I'm not saying none, they don't, they do happen with that, getting hit, hitting your head on the ground or whatever, but a lot of it is just a sudden jolt or just different types of things where the brain can move and bump against
just
the skull.
Scrambled.
Yeah, inside your head. And that can cause, sometimes it's not a major thing, but it builds on some. And then another thing will then do it because it's been, because the brain has been injured slightly. But you don't even realize.
Yeah, well, it's that second shot, which is why at least now the protocols have changed in the positive where it's a longer time that the athletes, before they're able to return to their sport, still not probably where it should be, but it's progressed there because, it's that once you've had that first one, it's kind of like a car bumper. Once it gets smashed in, it's not going to be ready to take a second hit. It saved you that first time, but after that second hit, then you're really vulnerable. And that's why when they go back out, if it's been too rushed. But I'm not buying into the synchronized swimming thing.
I just found the article here out of the New York Times. This coming
They're not
from,
that close to each other.
From Miriam Glez, the chief executive of USA Synchro, the sports national organizing body. I would say 100% of my athletes will get a concussion at some point. It might be minor, might be more serious, but at some point or another, they will get hit.
Yeah, I'm still, I just...
So moms,
maybe they should change some teaching techniques at that point. Then.
Moms, let your kids play football, but not synchronized.
The Jell-O gets pretty hard. It's Jell-O they use in their hair to keep everything together. Yeah. When the Olympic festival was here in '94, actually got in the pool with the synchronized swimmers and
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
This
did
is
you dance with him in the whole bit?
No, but no, no.
This is
no,
the
no. It was. You know what? They actually. It's the reverse of everything that you learn about swimming. Like in terms of how to go underwater and everything, because once they saw that I could swim, it was like, oh, okay, yeah, here, try this, and to keep yourself up above and do the things that they do is almost backwards. The way that you learned how to propel yourself through the water, it's reversed, which was complicated for me. But yeah, there was nobody got concussions or even hit. It was fine.
Doing a quick run through here of the new show, The Triple Threat, which will debut on Thursday, 2 to 4 on 590. The Fan, Joe Roderick, Howard Balzer, Brian Stahl here with you on the afternoon drive. We are in the Liquid Spirits 5 o'clock hour. Guys, Liquid Spirits, a sponsor that is going to be following us over to 590. They're going to be sponsoring the 2 o'clock hour over at 590, a beverage catering company. They bring the bar to your party. And just
what
one
about
of the
studio.
They have asked if they can bring us drinks to the new studio. John, the owner, actually asked me that this morning, and I told him, yes, I do believe that booze is allowed at the new location.
Sounds to me like that would be Fridays in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
There we go.
Listen to this. If you have, and this would be great for holiday parties coming up. Say you have a holiday party, you know at least 100 people are going to be there. Mm-hmm. For $12 a person, so for $1,200, they will come to your place for 3 hours. You get your choice of three Budweiser products, two of their house wines, and all of their liquors, gin, rum, scotch, vodka, whiskey, amaretto. They just serve it up to you. $12 a person.
Boom.
It's yours. All you could drink for those 3 hours.
Better than
bartender included.
Prices.
Yeah, bartender included for Liquid Spirits. They have $14 a person items. They have $16 packages per person packages. They have cash bars that they can offer you as well. But they will take care of your holiday parties. Find them online, liquidspiritsstl.com. That's liquidspiritsstl.com. Or call John, 314-650-4191. That's 314-650-4191. Jay didn't believe it. Jay didn't believe that this was a real business. He just thought I was making things up just to fill sponsorships.
Just some of your friends are like, hey, you know what? We've got some leftover Natty Light. Let's have a party.
And John came and he made us, he made us Moscow Mules, I believe, is what he made for us.
So they have signature drinks, too?
Yes, they will make signature drinks. They came out and they made the Moscow Mules for us one show at Normandy, and they're going to do the same when we make the move over to 590. Let's take a quick commercial break, come back, and wrap things up here on the Afternoon Drive, doing a little preview of what it will sound like coming Thursday for the Triple Threat here on CBS Sports 920.